Chapter 4. The lady stayed for about an hour before calling for another Uber ride to go home. This time, someone other than Myra showed up. They seemed to be enjoying this mode of transportation. Maybe, after this, Ruth would give up driving. She might have to if the police kept her car. Maybe Lexi should try Uber. She had no idea how long her car would be in the shop or if it was even fixable. It was nearly closing time when Lexi's phone buzzed in her apron pocket. She'd been cleaning out the display cases to get things ready for the next day. They packaged up the day-old pastries and gave them to the homeless shelter. Well, those that Nans and the ladies didn't swing by to claim. But Nans hadn't come back, and Jack was due to be there any minute to pick her up. She pulled the phone out and glanced at the screen, then frowned. Scratch that. Jack was canceling on her. His text said he had to work late. Disappointed, she removed her apron, then locked the front door and headed into the back of the store, thankful Cassie was still there. At least she could always count on her best friend, which was good, considering how Jack had been making a habit of canceling on her lately. Hey, can I catch a ride home with you? Sure. Cassie finished shutting down the ovens. What happened to Jack? He just sent me a message, has to work late tonight. Oh. Cassie turned away to search for something under the sink. No problem. Maybe it was for the best, Lexi reasoned as she grabbed her purse from the front and took off her apron. Given the tension between them before, a little time apart could be just what they needed. Never mind the tugging ache in her heart over missing Jack. She'd see him again soon enough. Lexi did one more walkthrough to make sure everything was secure. Then they went out the back exit to the alley, where Cassie was parked. How's John doing? Lexi asked as she climbed into the passenger seat of Cassie's Prius. Is he working late too? Not that I know of. Why? Just wondered. Since they've got that new case and all, seems like if Jack was working late, John would be too. Cassie started the engine, then pulled out of the alley. John didn't really say anything about it when I talked to him earlier. He might have forgotten to mention it. Or maybe he's doing cleanup on an older case. Cassie changed the subject to the new fondant colors they'd started experimenting with, pink and purple swirls and rainbow. They'd been working on ways to wrap the fondant over a cake and not have any creases in the pattern. 20 minutes later, Cassie dropped Lexi off in front of her craftsman-style bungalow. She'd left a light on in the front living room, and she spotted her dog, Sprinkles, in the front window, tail wagging in anticipation. After a quick goodbye and thank you to Cassie, she let herself inside. Sprinkles met her at the door, all wagging tail and floppy white fur. She scampered around in circles, her nails clicking on the hardwood floor, until Lexi picked her up to cuddle. Through the cozy living room, she spotted her prized grandfather clock against the dining room wall. It was a bit after 6. How's my baby tonight, huh? Sprinkles nuzzled her soft fur against Lexi's neck and then covered her chin in sloppy dog kisses. Yuck. Lexi put Sprinkles down gently and wiped her chin. She headed into the kitchen with Sprinkles leaping around her feet. She refilled the dog's food and water bowls before letting Sprinkles out into the fenced backyard for some exercise. The black and white linoleum gleamed merrily, and the crisp white cabinets beckoned. She'd just started pulling things out of the fridge for dinner when Jack walked through the front door, wine and flowers in hand.
I'm so sorry about not being able to give you a ride tonight, honey.
He kissed her sweetly, setting his items on the granite countertop so he could slide his arms around her waist. All Lexi's anxiety about Jack's cancellation melted away. There was no better place in the world than where Lexi was right that minute. She rested her palm against his chest to feel the steady thump of his heartbeat. Jack smiled down at her.
How was your day?
Good. You'll be happy to know there was no more snooping at all, she teased. Your stern warning worked. He winced.
I'm sorry about that, too. I didn't mean to be so hard on you. I just worry about you when I'm not around.
I know. She kissed him again, then pulled away to let Sprinkles back inside. And I appreciate that. And the gifts. She gestured toward the beautiful pink roses, her favorite, and the wine. Is this to apologize for earlier, or were you being naughty too?
What? No.
He shook his head and turned away fast, his expression flustered.
I just like doing nice things for you, honey. What are we making for dinner?
How about baked chicken and potatoes?
Sounds great.
He joined her at the counter, and they prepared the food together. Jack scrubbed the potatoes, then doused them in olive oil and salt and pepper, before poking them with a fork and wrapping them in foil. Lexi cleaned the chicken breasts, then doused them in olive oil and garlic, before she dredged them in breadcrumbs and Parmesan cheese. They went into a stoneware baker, then into the oven with the potatoes to bake for an hour. Jack uncorked the wine and poured them each a glass, handing one to Lexi after she finished washing and drying her hands.
We discovered the identity of the victim from this morning.
Yeah? She said, sipping her Chardonnay and trying to act nonchalant. Who was he?
Guy by the name of Sherman Wilson, Jack said.
Like the paint? Lexi asked.
No, that's Sherwin Williams, honey.
Jack laughed.
We had a few chuckles around the station about that, too, until we got his background check. Turns out, the guy robbed a bank. Just got out of jail for it, too.
Jack took a swallow of his wine, then frowned.
Which doesn't explain why a man who's fresh out of prison would be found dead under Ruth's car. Can't imagine a guy who just finished serving his time in prison would go right back to being involved in a robbery that could send him back behind bars.
Huh, that does seem odd, doesn't it? Unless he was desperate. Lexi took Jack's hand and led him into the living room where they both took a seat on the overstuffed sofa. The ladies stopped by again for brownies at the bakery this afternoon.
Yeah?
Jack set his glass on the coffee table, one side of his full lips quirking into a smile.
And here I thought you said you weren't snooping again.
I wasn't, honest. She gave him a gentle, reproachful look. Nance did bring up a good point, though, while they were eating.
What's that?
She mentioned Nunzio and his blackmail list. You guys never did find it, did you?
Nope. Jack narrowed his gaze. Why?
Well, her theory was, what if this Wilson man knew about the list and came looking for it once he was freed from prison? After all, criminals do talk on the inside, right? Nance thought maybe this Sherman Wilson was on the list. Or maybe he wanted to find it so he could continue Nunzio's blackmail scheme. Jack shook his head and exhaled slowly, his expression resigned.
Figures, Mona and the ladies would be right in the thick of things again. Listen, honey, I want you to promise me you'll stay out of this one, all right? This Wilson guy was a dangerous criminal, clever, resourceful, ruthless. Which means whoever killed him must have been even worse to get the upper hand on him. I don't want you or Mona or any of her friends from the retirement community to get any crazy ideas about helping on this investigation. The Brook Ridge Falls Police Department is perfectly capable of handling this investigation on our own. After all, I'm the homicide detective in the family, remember?
He pulled her into his arms and kissed her, before getting up to grab the wine from the kitchen. When he returned, he poured them each a refill before continuing.
Hey, since your car's still in the shop and I couldn't pick you up after work tonight, how about I get up early in the morning and drop you at the bakery?
He clinked wine glasses with her.
Sound good?
Yes. Lexi smiled, glad to have their easy connection back again. I'd like that.
Good. And I want you to promise me you'll stay at the shop all day tomorrow. The last thing I need is for you to go out snooping with your grandmother and risking life and limb. Not until we get whoever's responsible for Sherman Wilson's murder behind bars. Okay?
Lexi ducked her head, a twinge of remorse pinching her chest. She loved Jack more than life itself, but him asking her to promise something like that was impossible. Not when she was certain the ladies would be back out in force the next day. She couldn't leave Nans and her friends to their own devious devices, especially after what Jack had said about Wilson's killer.
Great.
Jack towed off his shoes and stretched out his long legs, slipping his arm around Lexi's shoulders and snuggling her into his side. Sprinkles jumped up on the sofa and settled in beside Lexi to sleep. Jack kissed Lexi on the top of the head, then clicked on the TV news.
Let's watch some news while we wait for supper to cook.
While the reporter on screen rattled off the day's top headlines, Lexi's mind raced. Lying to her husband didn't sit well with her. Then again, she hadn't verbally agreed to not see Nans and her friends the next day, so that wouldn't constitute an actual promise, would it? As of now, she had no plans to leave the bakery tomorrow, but that could change on a dime where the Ladies' Detective Club was concerned. She cuddled against Jack's warmth and deeply inhaled his scent, musk and vanilla and trust, before sighing. Nope. No promises. That way she wouldn't have to break her word to him again.